all the meetings ordered. Is the September 19th, 2023 meeting of the Central Business District Historic District Landmarks Commission Architectural Review Committee. Roll call, Robbie Candelosi, absent. Miriam Salas, present. Ashley King, present. Robert Boyd, present. Mandy Hutchinson, absent. We have three members constituting quorum. Second item on the agenda are the minutes from the July 18th meeting. Are there any comments or a motion?
Motion to approve.
A second.
A motion by Ashley King and a second by Miriam Salas. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries unanimously. All right, on to the regular agenda. The first application is 1060 Magazine Street.
Yes.
Welcome. Hello. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Sure. My name is Tony L. Fordish. I live at 6908 Memphis Street, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70124.
Great, thank you. The staff will make a brief presentation and then you may make yours.
This is an application for the new construction of a 31,550 square foot two-story museum and storage building, including the demolition of an existing contributing rated two-story warehouse building to grade in full control warehouse district.
Would the applicant like to make a brief presentation?
Yes, I would.
Is that for you?
Yep, that'd be great. I don't know if you're gonna pull up what I had submitted on the screen, because if not, that's better, because we sort of changed a couple of things up as far as where things are located. We brought the floor plan and the existing site plan to the front, because it's really important to kind of understand that, to understand part of the concept. In your packet, if you go to page 2, the property that we're looking at to develop is in the top right, existing site 1, existing site 2. Existing site 1 is 1042 Magazine. Existing site 2 is an existing warehouse with two back warehouse bays, so that's 1060. And then we have elevations below that. And then there is a bird's eye view on the right hand side showing that space. Moving to page 3. I need to state this. So right now it's two properties, and the owner is in the process of making it one lot of record. So we're in the process of doing that. So on page 3, it shows the floor plan. The building is roughly 32,000 square feet. It's a two-story warehouse, as mentioned, about 19,000 for the first floor, 13 for the second. The first floor program consists of exhibit space, a macro space, and a macro exhibit space. A little confusing. The exhibit space is going to be used to repair and maintain existing exhibits in the museum, the macro space is going to be used to repair and maintain macro exhibits, i.e. vehicles, boats, things of that nature. So if you're looking on page 3, the red line is actually the demising property line as it stands today. Mm-hmm. The left-hand side is the exhibit space, and then the right-hand is the macro. What was sort of introduced later on was a macro exhibit space, and that space is really going to house some of the macro exhibits so that as you're walking down the street, you can view some of these, some of the vehicles, tanks, and then they're also planning on doing some tours at some point in time after it's constructed. The macro exhibit space also is going to be a two-story space. The second floor. Let me go back. So also on the first floor, we have two garage doors. So the way this would operate is one of the garage doors would be used for receiving exhibit material. The other would be for allowing the vehicles to go in and out, and that's on the macro side. We have two pedestrian entrances as well, one on the exhibit and one on the macro side. The one on the macro would really probably be more used for the tours given by the museum. Going to page four, so this is the second floor. It's basically general storage. And then you can see the open to below in that one area. Page five is just graphically showing the zoning district and the warehouse district. And then zone six is the CBPCD site plan. Currently, the bold outline is currently part of the CBPCD, and the red indicates what we're proposing to add. So the bottom left is the property, the two properties, 1060 and 1042. You can see 1042 is already part of the CBPCD. It was actually submitted with 1040. So we'll be submitting 1060 as well under that application. So moving into the existing warehouse, this is, you know, I wasn't quite sure how much we want to discuss with regard to the warehouse building. I understand there was a prior application where the demolition was not opposed by the HDLC. You guys also, in stating that the front facade was rebuilt, was an original. We understand this recommendation is contingent on the design of this new building, but I was kind of just going to breeze over this aspect of it.
The ARC doesn't comment on the proposed demolition.
Okay, all right. So skipping to page 11, this is just elevations of the street within the block. So on the west elevation, that's the museum. Just quickly moving left to right, you have the central plant, you have the Hall of Democracy, firehouse. There's an existing building that was rebuilt to look identical to what it was originally, aesthetically on the exterior at least. The next building was on the corner of Magazine and Poi Fair. That's an existing building. And then the stage door canteen is the restaurant. On our side of the street, you have 1040 on the corner of Poi Fair and Magazine, our property, the project site, and then I call it the pizza warehouse, which is on the corner of Calliope and Magazine Street. Okay, so moving into the sort of our conceptual diagrams. I should have graphically shown this a little bit more, but think about this. We have three columns, column one, two, and three, and then two rows. So again, going back to the existing site, that the demising property line was pretty important to us to sort of establish part of the concept. So give me one second. Yeah, so this project was really sort of an exercise in subtlety, in our opinion. With the long front facade, the challenge was to create a unified building with two distinct parts, so that it fits within the existing context and also relates to each other. So we made the demarcation of these two parts along the demising property line of the existing site, and this acknowledges the historical context of the property, but it also follows nicely along with the program separation that we showed before. At this break of the two facades, we decided to embellish difference by shifting the left-hand side, the exhibit side, back 8 inches. And then, so that's kind of column two, and you can kind of see how it's on row one, in the plan, it's shifted back a little bit, the exhibit side. When we get to column three, the macro exhibit space was sort of introduced after we had already decided on doing a couple of these other concepts. And so anyway, once the request was made, we realized that we had to span the program from one program to the other in order to accommodate the amount of square footage that was requested. And so we're expressing that on the exterior facade of the building with a steel canopy. And it's going to extend across the entire front of that macro exhibit. So we think of it as sort of this, you know, third program kind of interlocking the other two. Captured within that canopy, and we'll see in the next few pages, is the large windows that are going to be used for framing the exhibits themselves. And using the term frame, we sort of wanted to enhance that, so we actually applied a steel surround on these windows as well to really physically frame those openings. Going to page 13, which is the elevation. So the steel surrounds and the canopy you can see are basically the dark black lines. Obviously, we had to break the canopy, and that's shown a little bit better in one of the renderings, to allow for vehicles to go in and out of the garage door. So establishing the aesthetic of the building, we looked at the neighboring context for direction and developed sort of a pilaster scheme with punched windows in between. And this is fairly common in this area. The materials that we're using are brick, glass, and steel. For the brick, we're proposing to use three different hues of the same color at the three elevations, meaning at the exhibit, we would have one color, macro one color, and then underneath the canopy at the third. We have three window designs. One is the large windows with the steel plate, where we are reflecting sort of a transom at the top, and that transom, the bottom of that transom, would align with the canopy itself. The other windows are similar with the transom, but then full mullions all the way down, and that would happen at the second floor as well as the first floor between the garage and the entrance. And then we have large rectangular vertical windows, and those are actually going to happen at each above each entrance, the two garage doors and then the pedestrian entrance on the exhibit side. And then the sort of the last feature that we looked at was the parapet, and we wanted to keep it quite simple, and we like the idea of inverting the profile of that, again, from one of the facades to the other. Again, just sort of this whole acknowledgement of subtlety between the two facades. So getting into the renderings, we have two, and it's because we're going back and forth with the museum about, you know, what we want, and sort of the first one on page 14. So what we've done here is we have the window sizes really mullionless, but we're providing those at the second floor as well. Everything else is fairly consistent. If you go to page 15, what we're doing here is what I had explained earlier with the mullion transom at the first, at the second as well. We made the second floor windows a little bit smaller, just to give a little more hierarchy to the first floor windows. The other thing we're sort of looking at doing is providing some type of film on some of these windows. So you can see on the exhibit side, on the second floor, we have basically clear, and then, for lack of a better word, opaque, clear. And then on the macro side, it's actually opaque, clear, opaque. So we're kind of flipping between those three verticals from one of the facades to the other. We understand that any type of screening or film would have to be 20% or less. We understand that. We just want to give a subtle difference between the two.
Are these windows impact rated?
Yes, they would be.
At this large of glass?
We're still working through that. We're in schematic design. Yep,
okay,
I understand
I'm just,
your concern.
I'm understanding that it's 40 square feet is sort of your limitation for impact rated glass.
Right.
So I'm just wondering like how that impacts the...
A lot, because these windows are 8 by 10. So.
Right.
Yeah. So it would have to
I
be
mean,
developed
mullions.
Sure,
okay.
100%. Yep.
Yeah, I guess I was just asking, considering the mullion less versus mullion
right.
design.
Right.
Okay.
On page 16, this is a large elevation of the macro. And so here you can clearly see we're also looking at brick patterning. So the pilasters, we would want to introduce a running bond. Mm-hmm. And then at the infill, we'd like to do a stack bond. Again, subtle differences. Page 17, that's really where we think the canopy and the steel surround pops. So the reason, so this is the 8-inch setback. So the steel surrounds sit out 8 inches. When you get to the macro side, the face of the steel plate is going to be flush with the face of the pilaster. So, and that's shown pretty clearly on the next page, 18.
Oh, yeah.
And so another thing, you know, the reason I also wanted to just mention quickly, so there's a couple. So the steel canopy, it's not really shown correctly here. It would actually go into the surround so that you wouldn't really see the bottom of the mullion here. And one of the things that kind of we talked about is the idea of I've used this term a lot, macro, but macro, micro, basically. So if you stand across the street, you get the full view of the entire window. And when you're up against the window, that canopy actually makes it, puts it more on a human scale. Mm-hmm. So we also like the idea of those two different scales, depending on where you're standing, looking at the project. And that's really it for the presentation. Bob, do you want to say anything?
Well said. Here to answer any questions.
Can you go back and go to the film? Like, which windows would have film again?
Yeah, so if you go to page, it's really
15, I guess. Page 15?
Pretty subtle.
15, yeah. So if you look at, like, let's say the.
It's only in the groups of three, right?
It's only in the groups of three. Thank you. Yes, and then so one facade has clear film, clear, and that's three windows, and then the other facade has film, clear, film. So that's what we're talking about. Alternate.
Say again, why are you guys doing that?
I'm sorry.
Say again, why is it that you guys are doing that?
Well, just again, it's sort of just layers of trying to make these elevations, these facades, a little bit different from each other. Even though, you know, it's one unified building, right? Mm-hmm. So the trick is trying to make it look like two, but at the same time being consistent. So, you know, it kind of plays on with the inverse for the parapet, you know, doing that. I don't know if I mentioned that. That's pretty important. Sorry, the profile at the top, the parapet is very simple and it's meant to be, but we inverted the profile of it from one facade to the other as well, and those happen above the entrances too for those two buildings. So it's kind of just playing around with that type of theory.
So originally when you were laying out this front elevation, you were thinking about with the previous property line, the demising property line, how it divided it into sort of two different facades.
Very much so.
And then later the ground floor program grew into...
Well, it did, yeah. So initially, you know, yes, that delineation was the first we thought of, and then it just coincidentally the program happened to fit very close within that, so we kind of manipulated it so it did. And then after the fact, then it's when the exhibit, the actual macro exhibit, was brought in. So we thought we had a great opportunity to make something fairly unique, right, and try to interlock these two things, and in lieu of trying to hide it behind two facades, we wanted to really enhance that look. So
did you at least consider changing the facade so that it matches the program that's behind it? So for example, taking the entire exhibit area, making that all one facade with a separate facade on the left?
Well,
just asking if you at least explored that.
Well, and I apologize, I didn't mention this either, but if you look at this at the building, and I think I had talked about it before, three hue colors, you can see the three different colors, and we kind of thought that that really identifies that much more than changing a material, or, you know, we like the idea of again, these subtle changes to identify the three separate areas of the facade.
I mean, I like breaking up the facade sort of in this way, where I feel like it's respectful to the scale of that block and historically what's here, you know, where proportionally it's sort of five different buildings and so far. And I think it is interesting how, you know, you have these proportions that relate to the scale of the overall neighborhood, but then there's a very strong delineation of where that macro exhibit is. I personally find that interesting response to it. The long linear windows, like, are they within the guidelines? But this is such a new building, so I'm kind of...
Sort of the proportions on those.
Yeah, it just says
floor.
That there are, that they come all the way to floor level.
Yeah.
Do they fit within the guidelines? I feel like they work in the building, and I understand why. How do they fit within the guidelines? Personally, I like the mullion less. Openings, but I also know the reality of those with the with working with implant glass and, you know,
I agree.
Getting my hand slapped.
Yeah, I was thinking that I like it, Tony, a lot, and again, I like it, the larger glass, but maybe you don't need to incorporate the horizontal and the vertical divisions. In the, you know how you go from a very large opening, uninterrupted, and then you introduce on the following rendering horizontal and verticals. Maybe you get to the 40 or to the maximum division by just including the horizontal, right? Because it's kind of like, then it becomes a little bit too traditional, and the building is not that traditional.
I see. Sure.
Yeah.
And then, you just mirror.
So on the lower windows, you're saying eliminate the verticals, but just keep the horizontal at the canopy.
And in the upper windows as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I don't
yeah.
see the verticals, but then I know you were talking about the I don't know if it's frosted or what, and the opaque glass and not opaque.
Well, I mean, if we change the mullions, then that doesn't have to stay. It's not a critical point to the design.
The design feels very strong, but that feels a little gimmicky.
Okay.
Sure. You have a strong design.
Yeah. Understand.
I don't think you need the film.
Yeah, okay. Me neither.
I don't think that you need it to make that, you know, statement. Yeah. I think that it, the, you know, with the change in the brick patterns, these slight recesses, the treatment of the openings, I think it is a strong enough design without it, and I think I think it will be better for the keeping with the purity of the design of the design views. Because I mean, I really like the move of the canopy and the windows and bringing that in, and the, so I don't think I don't think it.
I'm on the same page.
I don't think
And one question that I have, Tony, is when you have your vertical, the long windows on the second floor, I noticed that you like have different in the elevations and in the, you guys are obviously like tweaking it to see which one is the correct proportion for these ones, right? So here you have it sort of in the portico condition, you got three, and then here two, but then this one doesn't. So the spacing of those, as it relates to like the bounding box of it,
I see what you're saying.
And it obviously is something that you guys have been studying, because
right.
it changes from one drawing to the next, to the next, to the next. It feels like
sure,
like,
and it, it's a yeah,
where it wants to land,
iterative
right?
process, right?
Yeah.
So.
Public comment. You have 2 minutes to make your comment. Please state your name and address for the record. The first speaker we have is Michael Lee Maddox. Michael Lee Maddox, I'm an architect and owner and partnership of 1041 1053 Constance Street behind the D-Day Museum, or the, behind this building. My address is 4127 South Claiborne Avenue, 70125. Yesterday, we didn't receive the cards until Friday's mail, and then yesterday we sent off a letter to McIntyre and Gilry, but it bounced back, so we sent it to Dennis Murphy, and he acknowledged it. But we have a...
It's in the presentation at the very bottom.
We have the survey for the property that we did, Constance Lofts, that shows the back of the building as a common alley, 10 feet wide, and the existing two-story structure is built to the, over that alley going back to 1940. And we would hate to see a pile driving and wall built next to our wall that's on unreinforced brick masonry wall, four stories high. And this whole back side of that block is a common alley, except we own a little piece of land that sticks out
on the sandboard,
abutted the parking lot. So we looked at the submittal and looked at the drawings. It looks like the first floor is pushed back. The second floor is pushed back. The first floor abuts our brick wall, which is a residential building. And it looked like the first floor could be pushed back to line up with the second floor and leave the alley. The stair comes down.
I guess, does the applicant want to respond to that?
And the other problem I had is, what will the back, I know you don't care about the back of the building, but what does the back of the building look like? Okay. Is it just a concrete block, or is it brick, or is it, it's windowless, basically.
Thank you for your comment.
And I had one more comment on that.
Your time is almost up. Okay.
Yes, please, thank you. If it's a blank wall, that'd be great. Why don't you paint a mural of his World War II stuff? Because it's visible to windows and so forth. Okay.
Thank you.
But I have that. I had sent that survey.
Yes, I included it in the presentation too.
Okay.
And I tried to get them your contact info.
We received it yesterday as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you like me to respond? I didn't sign up, but I'm happy to respond.
Yeah, you don't need to sign up.
Bob Farnsworth, Senior Vice President for the National World War II Museum. So when we acquired that property, that building has extended over that common alley for way, way beyond 30 years. So we believe we own it by virtue of adverse possession. But we're sympathetic to the concerns. That's why we built the building, backward. We didn't assume that we had the air rights above what the current construction. We'd like to sit down and discuss, the specific concerns. We do understand that we would want to make that rear material something that's not, unattractive. The idea of a mural is something certainly that we would, that we'd be open to discussing. Any other concerns relative to the use of that space, if there's drainage underneath, we intend to sit down with the adjacent property owner and make sure that we accommodate any reasonable request and that we don't do anything with this development that causes undue distress with our neighbors, which is not our intent.
Y'all can have an offline conversation later. Okay, great.
Yes, thank you.
All right, is there any other public comment regarding 1069 Green Street? All right, Tony, you want to have a seat. Is there any more discussion or?
I guess thank you, Mary, for bringing it up. And I think I didn't notice before, but on page 14 with the windows, those large windows, are sort of pilaster without the bureau. I think that is why I was sort of drawn to it. I think proportionally, it feels, it's still modern, but it also feels a little more proportionally contextual. So I like, at least those flat, above the back row.
Yeah.
Exhibit. And then maybe to the left of the back row exhibit, work on the second floor openings.
Yeah.
So sort of to feel like they can relate a little bit more. But I guess also some of this is contingent on mullion.
Mm-hmm. I do think the larger windows on the second level that span all the way from pilaster to pilaster are more successful than sort of the punched version.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a way of introducing your mullions into those that makes sense.
Yeah. That's a horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So is our motion that we conceptual approval of the design. We prefer the larger windows spanning pilaster to pilaster with some further exploration of the narrow windows with the idea of sort of avoiding the punch window look.
Yeah.
Further examining the placement of mullions in context of impact rating and also sort of non-traditional sort of strong vertical transoms that may be all horizontal or some type of patterning. Do we want to see that mullion relationship again?
Yep.
probably should.
I think we should. I think we should, with this building, I think we should.
I mean, you have conceptual approval already, so what we want to see is like a further development, probably when you're in design development, right? You're finishing this deal right now, right, Tom?
Yeah, we just, we think, yes.
So, like.
Actually, it was dependent on this, how this, the outcome of this meeting came.
I think for conceptual approval, and then see it one more time.
Final design to return to the ARC.
Yes.
So that's a motion.
Second.
So we have a motion by Ashley King and a second by Robert Boyd. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you all. I really appreciate it. So do we just submit the revised?
I'll send you a letter. This will still do it over commission to ratify this recommendation and for the demo.
Okay.
But I'll send you a letter just outlining that. So we'll go to the next meeting. It's about 2 weeks.
Great. I was telling Miriam walking up, this is the first time I've been to the HCLC ARC meeting since y'all moved from Julia Street. So it's been quite a while.
That was what? 18?
I think it's pre-Katrina.
Katrina, right?
Yeah, it was right after Katrina we moved.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. The next item on the agenda is 650 O'Keefe Avenue.
Who feels old now?
I'm pretty mature, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I like it for mature.
Mature and why?
I don't know why.
Can you gentlemen take your conversation outside? Thank you. 650 O'Keefe Avenue, 939 Gerard Street. Can the applicant state their name and address for the record, please?
Doria Durham, I'm site acquisition agent for Verizon Wireless, 12 Chandon Court, Mandeville, Louisiana.
John Farrell with Tower Engineering. Engineers for Verizon, 4016 Neray Drive, Metairie.
Great, thank you. Staff?
This is an application for the installation of cellular equipment on a non-contributing rated four-story commercial building in Lafayette Square. This project was heard at the August 16th, 2022 meeting, so it's been a little while. At that meeting, the ARC stated that the location of the Gerard Street antenna was not appropriate and suggested exploring other locations on the stair massing that are less visible from the street. The ARC did not recommend the use of the plastic casing on the Gerard Street antenna and stated that having no casing would be more appropriate. So the main issue on the Gerard Street was that it was highly visible and it's such a nice element of the existing building that we did not want to obscure it. So, go ahead.
Well, basically, I'm gonna let John address since he's our A&E. But it did take us a year to go through all of the approvals, the changes that we had to make. So apologies, but we just got this completed. And John, the floor is yours.
Yeah, we did as recommended. That sector on the Gerard Street side was moved to the top of the roof, the stairwell elevator shaft. Everything else remains the same. And it is set back from the face of the building. I believe it's about 5 or 6. It's about 8 feet.
Didn't the antenna on top of the stair? I don't recall that.
Yeah, it's very visible.
Yeah. So if I remember correctly, the last meeting was less concerned about the visibility because this building is non-contributing and it is so tall. It was more where it was attached to, and it was attached to the exterior wall of that Gerard Street elevation, which was not what we wanted.
And they proposed some sort of plastic cover to sort of mimic the material that was there.
Right. Which boxed it out, and we didn't like that.
Even though it's not contributing, it's very architectural.
Right. Yes, which is why we asked it to be moved.
That is the most prominent aspect of that building. And it's very pure, and it seems like it's going to really be.
I know the others don't want to hear this, but can it move and take up a parking space?
I believe that was asked last time, and there was an issue with that, correct? Moving it to a parking space, there was an issue with moving that one.
Oh, no, and you have, you know, we have all kinds of regulatory things that we have to meet as well. And so, you know, this location meets all the other requirements, and structurally, if we would have put the sheathing on the sector that we moved, that adds to the loading on the roof. And because it's set further back from the street level, I don't believe it's visible from the street level.
It's set back 8 feet, is that what I'm seeing on?
Yes.
And
so it's about 10 feet tall too? Is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's okay. The tips of the antennas are at 10 foot elevation.
Okay.
Above the roof.
The sort of equipment that's shown on C3, where is that located on plan?
Oh, that's see. Parking space.
Okay.
And so the other two pieces of equipment, says it's got an antenna radome cover. What is that cover? What's it made of? What does it look like?
No radome cover?
Uh-huh.
It's basically a solid plastic panel so that the transmission can penetrate it. We're going to make that the same color as the building on the northwest corner, the O'Keefe Street side. That's going to be just above the parapet wall. That'll be match the color of the concrete wall just beneath it. It'll appear to be a concrete panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a little thing okay. already up there. That's where that one's going to be.
Okay. And so the other one on, let's see.
On the Barone Street
yeah.
side? Yeah, that one's going to be encased. It's actually a complete enclosed box. The sides, the top, the bottom, etc. And that'll be in a color that matches the wall.
Just to take a step back, if we may, my understanding was that when we were at the meeting a year ago, that the only change that was requested was the sector move, and the other parts of the project were approved. Yeah. I just wanted to make clear that we're on the same page.
But I think the
it's
other parts.
It's just been a while.
And I think those other parts also had the banding on it. It looks like that's been adjusted a little bit. Yeah. This is much better than what we'd seen before for those two. Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if those two other ones can have this plastic radome cover on it. Does this one that was on the roof, the one that's sort of now exposed, is there any kind of a cover that could be put on it so it looks?
Probably unlikely, mm-hmm. just based on the structural conditions of that roof. We've worked with Tyndall out of Mississippi, the designers and fabricators of this garage.
That's what's taken, took us several months to just get all of this done. And we would have requested the cover on that. But when we were at that last meeting, we were told not necessary.
Yeah.
We're fine with no cover. And so we went on that premise. And, you know, structurally and all other things considered, we felt like we followed to the letter of, your comments, what the request was.
I don't love it, but I don't think whether we love it or not, that's not in our privy, I think.
Yep.
Y'all have explored a number of options. I think without a cover, I guess, it would probably be less visible, slender, and it just kind of hopefully goes away.
And it's definitely better than what you guys came to us for originally.
Yeah,
so.
It's an improvement. And not having as an appendix, but
right.
Really, yeah.
Right. It's not a wart any longer.
Is there any public comment regarding
650
O'Keefe Avenue? Right, seeing none, is there more discussion?
The framework that's supporting this, what's going to be just steel framework, what's it's going to be painted, galvanized?
Galvanized steel.
Okay. I have a question, and it's an open question, not a loaded question. We were working on a project in which NPS, the Historic Tax Credit Project, we have a massive rooftop unit. It's not in Louisiana. And they were asking us to paint it, like factory paint the literally chillers and all big equipment. Not too much our building, but too much the sky, which is relative to what color right. the sky and what day.
Correct.
However, and we were like making fun of that requirement from NPS to our office. Actually, it makes a lot of sense now that it's kind of there because it disappears more. Mm-hmm. It tends to disappear more than painting it to match the terracotta of the building.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if the move here of having a protective cover matching the building.
Or could it
be like a grayish that blends.
Grayish, blue, white.
Grayish,
yeah.
bluish that blends with most sky conditions.
Or at least
no,
the steel.
Paint is
never an issue.
Okay.
Yeah. It has to be a metal free, basically a latex paint.
Yeah,
right.
And that's But that's and I don't have the magic color for it. When we throw it, what color will that
Disney
be?
Disney calls it no-see-um green and no-see-um blue.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if this is feasible or this makes sense, so I'm kind of just putting this out here. We still have the CUP process that we have to go through after this, assuming we're approved here. And there is no problem that I know of that I can let Verizon know, hey, we're going to go ahead and get this installed and take a look at the color of that sector. And if it's like, and we think that we can paint it, see about doing that. That is, we've gone back and done things before. So, and I know that's a strange comment to make, but we won't know until it's installed of how it looks.
Right,
and
it
may be like, no big deal, paint not necessary, or, paint would be great.
Yeah.
And then as long as, like John says, the paint is environmentally
correct.
Within specifications, I don't think the color, that the landlords.
They paint everything.
Yeah, and
all
you
over
know.
The place.
Obviously, domain companies, we need to go back to them and tell them, hey, we're just going to paint, these antennas. I don't know that that's going to be a big delay or anything.
Is there a certificate of occupancy associated, with this? I'm just saying, at what point do we say, okay,
it's on.
That, how do we, I'm just trying to think about, how we craft this into
emotion.
An emotion, paint color to be designed before certificate of occupancy.
We're still going through, we still have to go through the conditional use process, like I said. We have to do public meetings and all of that.
Yeah, they still have a little bit.
So we have a ways to go.
Antennas have a lot of approvals if the building doesn't have existing antennas.
Okay.
So when we were last year looking at some mechanical additions to the building next door or over in the next block, they gave us several different options where they actually had a 3D view of the building along with the mechanical equipment and different colors for the screening and different types of screening. So we were able to look at it and weigh in what makes the most sense for there. Here, we're sort of relying on some very, very technical engineering drawings to kind of determine what the thing is going to look
like. Well, again, we were under the impression that you guys wanted the sector moved.
Yeah.
It was more about location, distance, all of those specifications. And we did not even discuss painting or doing anything to
camouflage. Our concern is the appearance of this thing.
The antennas.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
It's the
appearance. Would we be okay with doing something like a conceptual approval with the screening to come back?
Screening and color.
That way you can go forward with your conditional use and we won't hold you up in that regard, at least.
Yeah.
Does that work?
That works for you guys?
I mean, I think so.
Color can be worked out for sure.
The paint is not an issue.
Yeah, and explore screening if you can't have it because of load, that's...
Yeah.
So what is our motion?
Motion is for conceptual approval with paint color and examination of additional screening options.
What could we do to screen, honestly, that would not, I mean, because we have to worry about wind.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know much about antennas, right. But I can show you at least the screening that
next door.
The next door building submitted, but that was for HVAC, so it is right. Obviously
different.
It's
always an issue, and then you get into, okay, if that structure cannot move, how do you get it onto the roof without additional penetration?
Yeah.
And then it becomes, you go down this rabbit hole. So I know
I understand you're concerned about lateral wind forces and pushing on this structure, and then how do you support it? But it doesn't necessarily have to be a solid piece of material that would catch the wind.
And usually it's not.
It could be perforated metal. It could be some kind of a perforated screen. There are other ways of dealing with this.
Do you know of anything that we could attach to the mount? We've
used some perforated screening before, the fabric type stuff, and it just never holds up. It just...
Okay. Well, I don't know necessarily we're saying that we do need another kind of screen here, but we are concerned with what that final appearance is going to be. And if it is really just paint, that's fine, but we'd like to have some kind of input on that when we get to that point.
I don't know of any screening that we could do that we would not have to go back through structural issues and this whole thing that took us a year to do. And again, because we were told no screening necessary, we went on that premise and we kind of took to the letter of the prior, approval, except for we want this change. So those were our marching orders, basically.
I'm a little bit less concerned with appearances of an antenna, because if the building had been originally permitted with antenna, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
Right.
So I think that you guys got it out of the facade, which was sinful in our opinion, and that's achieved. And if we can work in it, that's fine, but buildings do have antennas.
Okay.
So
I think we had a motion to approve with options regarding paint and screening to be looked at.
I would even omit the screening part.
No screening?
I'm okay with that screen. I'm okay with that screen too.
Okay.
Just paint.
So it's paint.
Okay.
Work out with staff. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is there a second to that motion?
A second.
There's a second by Mary Salas. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Everyone, for your consideration. Much appreciated.
Sorry.
Well,
I don't know.
Your movie doesn't matter.
We're just doing this.